Welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. We invite you to join us this morning at 11 for Facebook Live, facebook.com/SMBC Louisville. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr's message is entitled, We Were Made for Worship.
Well, if someone were to ask you, what does God want from you? How would you respond? You know, my expectation is that the answer would vary depending some on our background and on our experience. Some people might say that what God wants from me is to be a devoted church member, to be attendance is what's important to God, to be present in Bible study, to be present in church, to serve on committees. God is taking role and God's not pleased with some of your attendance. Now, other people might say that what God wants from me is to believe the right stuff. It's all about orthodoxy, right beliefs. It's about me having the right theological understanding of who God is and who I am and what God wants in the world. And that allows me then to determine with whom I fellowship and with whom I shouldn't, or whom I should correct about their understanding of God. God is concerned with what we believe, and God's not pleased with what some of you believe. Others might say that, no, God's not concerned with as much with what I believe as with what I do. It's not about orthodoxy. It's about orthopraxy. It's about not about right belief, but right practice, right actions, right motivations. What God is concerned about is ethical behavior. The Bible is full of a list of rules, and God expects me to live by them. God expects you to live by them. God is keeping a record of sin. And some of you have way too many pages devoted to your record. Now, others still might say, nothing. What does God expect from me? Nothing. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I live under grace, not under the law. And so what God wants for me is to be happy. And so I should pursue then what makes me happy. God, to live a life free of expectations. And some of you are wound a little too tight. What does God want from you? You know, I would think there'd be a lot of different answers to that question. In fact, I think if we ask the question, we get a lot of puzzled looks. But let me suggest one other option. And if you've been around very long, you probably won't be surprised by this one. What does God want from me? Love. To receive God's love, to return God's love, to reflect God's love. I think this is what God wants from me. We were created to be the objects of God's love. Listen to what Ephesians 1:4 says. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, God had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. God made this world. God made us. And God declared all of creation to be good. When God created human beings, God said it was very, very good. And God settled on us, Ephesians 1 says, to be the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. And so God loves people more than anything else, more than any tree, more than any plant, more than any flower, more than animals. God loves human beings made in his own image, made to be the recipients of his love. In Romans chapter 8, Paul is talking about this, a Holy Spirit and the presence of God in periods of suffering. And then in verse 35, he asks this question. Can anything separate us from the love of God in Christ? Can trouble, suffering in hard times, hunger and nakedness, or danger and death? And then in verses 38 and 39, he answers his own question. For I am sure that nothing can separate us from God's love. Not life or death, not angels or spirit, not the present or the futures, and not powers above or powers below. Nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love for us is steadfast. It will not change. God loves us and God longs to have a relationship with us. We were created to live in a love relationship with God. And God went to extreme measures to reconcile our relationship with him, to ensure that we could live in a relationship with him forever. In Romans 5, verse 8, it talks about what God did to make that happen. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, That is, while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. God loves us. And God paid a high price to have a relationship with us. And so what does God want from us? Well, I think God wants us to receive His love, to return His love, and then to reflect His love to the world around us, to be carriers of His love. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." This was in the answer to a lawyer's question about what's the most important of all of the laws. And Jesus said, the first and the greatest commandment, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. He went on to say, if you recall that passage, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang all of the law and the prophets. In other words, if you want to know what God's been doing up till now, if you want to know what the point was of the law and the prophets, the Old Testament books, it was this, love God. Love God with everything you have and all that you are. And love people whom God loves and whom God created in His image. God made us to receive and to return His love, to reflect His love to the people around us. God didn't make us to keep the rules of a religious system, but God made us instead to live in the love relationship with Him forever. And there's a term that the Bible uses to talk about loving God. You know what it is? It's worship. To worship God is to express my love for God. To worship something means to esteem it, to assign it highest value. And the good news is that we're all worshipers. God put within every one of us the need to assign something highest value. It could be the creator of the creation. It might be something that we've made with our own hands. If you don't believe that everyone worships, go to Rupp Arena or go to the Yum Center during basketball season. Go to Clemson or to Knoxville or to Alabama during football season and watch people declare their love and their allegiance. We are all worshipers. We will assign something highest value. And God's intention is that the object, the focus of our worship is properly Him. Because God alone is worthy of praise and worthy of glory and worthy of honor. There's this great picture of worship in the book of Revelation. John is describing a scene around the throne of God, and listen to what he says. "And then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be all praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" Can you imagine such a scene as that? I mean, there are maybe 500, 600 people here today. We came together to worship God. Remember a couple of weeks ago on Easter Sunday, it was such an exciting day of worship as we gathered to celebrate the resurrection. And what a spirit of enthusiasm. More than 900 of us were here in this room. And how exciting we were, how exciting it was to hear all of those voices praising God together. Well, John paints the picture of not just a few hundred or a few thousand, but hundreds of thousands, millions, gathering together to declare their love for God, to worship God, and to pour out themselves, expressing their love for God. Worship, it's personal and it's public. It's private and it's corporate. There are times when we need to develop the practice, or there aren't just times, we need to develop the practice of worshiping God privately, of being in tune with God, of declaring our praise and our worship to God, and we're all alone. But then we also need to come together and stand shoulder to shoulder with brothers and sisters in Christ, praising God and declaring our love for Him. In worship, we declare our love for God, and we do that in several different ways in public worship, but one of them is through singing. We sing songs of praise and love to God. In fact, have you ever noticed how music and love seem to go hand in hand? I mean, after all, how many love songs do you think you've heard during your lifetime? David could probably catalog them for us and quote most of them. Well, why do you think it is that you remember so many love songs? There are even stations on satellite radio devoted to just love songs. Why is that? Well, because a lot of the words that we speak come from our head, but somehow the words that we sing come from our heart. They express what's in our heart, not just what's in our head. Christianity has been a singing faith. Why is that? Because it's about a love relationship. As we sing, we not only declare the attributes of God, but we sing songs that talk about God's love for us. And in our singing, we declare our love for God. Psalm 147, verse 7 says, "Sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God." Few things make us more aware of God's love and God's presence than just singing. And so let's sing together this morning. As we worship together, let's declare our love for God through singing. And when we sing, go at it with all of your heart, with all of your soul. Even if, like me, you don't feel like you're a very good singer, it's okay. Because this isn't a talent show. This is not a performance. This is a chance for us to declare together our love for God. In Psalm 95, verse 1, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us give a joyous shout to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us sing to the Lord." some of us, when we worship, we're more demonstrable with our worship, and some of us are more introspective as we worship. We stand with folks who are raising their hands, and some in exuberance, and some of us get very still as the Spirit speaks to us. And so there are all kinds of ways to worship. But in worship, we declare our love for God. We worship God with heart and with soul. But that's not all we do. We also worship God thoughtfully. Jesus said we worship God with our minds. We devote ourselves thoughtfully to God. We focus our minds, our attention on God. We try to block out everything that's going on around us. All that we have to do this week, all that we have to accomplish today, everything that we brought with us, and try to create a space where we can focus our minds and our hearts on God. Where we talk to God and where we listen to God. Now, I'm not all that smart, but I'm finally figuring out after about 28 years of marriage that the communication thing and attention seems to be pretty important. Anybody else picking up on this, or are you? Maybe Greg Brockman and I could do a class, teach this sort of thing. But attention and communication are a key to growing a relationship. Paying attention to someone, talking to them and listening to them, it's a way of showing how much we care. It's a way of showing our love for someone, that they're important to us. And when we give attention to someone, when we talk to them and listen to them, not just about surface stuff, but about really deeper stuff in life, our relationship with them grows. When we don't pay attention to people, when we don't listen or talk, then our relationship grows colder. And I think the same is true in our relationship with God. In worship, we want to be thoughtful. We want to focus. We want to pay attention to God. We want to have a time where we can speak to God, where we can listen to God. Now, what do you talk to God about? Well, whatever you'd like. I think you talk to God about whatever's going on in your life. Talk to God about your dreams, about your aspirations. Talk to God about your fears and your questions and your failures. Talk to God about your concerns and your worries. Talk to God about the things you're proud of and the things of which you're ashamed. How often do you talk to God? Every few days? Once a week? A couple times a month? Whenever you're desperate? If we want to grow in our relationship with God, we have to develop a conversation with God. You know how often God wants to communicate with us? To hear from us and speak to us? Constantly. God wants our lives to be a constant flow of communication with Him. When we're paying attention to Him, we know that God is paying attention to us. I love what Psalm 116 tells us. I love the Lord because He hears me and He answers my prayer. Because He bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I have breath. You know how badly God wants to hear from you? Not just hearing you at a distance. The psalmist says that God bends down and listens. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to a small child, I'm aware that the distance between us is pretty great. The height difference is great. And so I might get down on my knees or something and try to get closer. That's what the psalmist says that God does to us. That He bends down and inclines His ear to us. Why? Because we're important to Him. Because we matter to Him. Because as the writer of Ephesians says, that God chose to make people the focus of His love, to make us whole and holy by His love. God leans in because God is concerned. So we talk to God and we listen to God. As we express our love for God in worship, listening is one of the ways that we communicate to people that we care about them. What gives people the message that I love you more than when you listen to them, when you pay attention to them? We speak to God and we listen to God. When we listen to God, we're declaring, God, You are important to me. God, I want to hear You. I want You to guide me. I want to know what You have to say about life. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And so let's work in worship to declare our love for God. So worship is about declaring our love for God. Worship is about thoughtfully devoting ourselves to God. But then there's a third piece of worship, and that's demonstrating our love for God. In the book of James, it says that faith without works is dead. And in the same way, I think we could say that love without action isn't really love. If you love someone, you do things for them to demonstrate your love for them. It's not simply about our words, and neither is worship. Worship is not about a place. It's not about a style of music. Worship is about our lives, worshiping God with all we have. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was actually quoting the Old Testament when he talked about the greatest commandment. He was quoting the Shema, one of the most familiar prayers of the Jewish faith. It comes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your strength." The implication of that prayer is that we love God with the totality of our lives. That we love God with everything we have. That we love God with all that we are. It's not just loving God with our words. It's loving God with the totality of who we are. We demonstrate our love for God. We love God not just with heart, with soul, with mind, but when we love God with our strength, when we love God with actions as well. Now, part of this means that I publicly identify myself with Jesus. Some of us are reluctant, I think, for the folks with whom we work or go to school or the people in our neighborhood to know that we're lovers of God, that we're followers of Jesus. But listen to the words of Jesus in Mark 8:38. "If any of you are embarrassed over me and the way I'm leading you when you get around your fickle and unfocused friends, know that you'll be an even greater embarrassment to the Son of Man when he arrives in all the splendor of God his Father with an army of the holy angels." You know, I hear from people from time to time say that faith is a private matter. That's not true. Faith is personal, but it's not private. It's a personal issue, but it's meant to be lived publicly. When we identify ourselves with Christ and when we live out the values of Jesus in our world. And I think our fear is due to the fact that we don't want to become like the weird people we know or we see on TV. We're almost caricatures of faith. And we don't want to be overbearing. We don't want to be obnoxious. But the good thing is that those aren't the only options for how you live out your faith. It all comes down to authenticity, to us living out an authentic experience of our faith. It's not about pretending that you're somebody you're not, pretending that you're better than you are, pretending that you're perfect, because folks see through that anyway. You see through that in the people you know who are playing a big game when it comes to issues of faith. And so we don't try to convince people we're better than we are, but we simply live the best we can. This life that God has called us to. We follow Jesus the best we're able. And sometimes that means we're going to make mistakes and we have to own up to them when we make them. But we try to demonstrate for people that the love of Christ is living in us and it's growing in us as well. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 15, it says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket, but instead put it on a stand and let it shine for all. Let other people see Jesus living in you." Because the truth of the matter is, this may be the only opportunity they have to see it. To see what a life transformed by Jesus looks like. And so we demonstrate our love for God by being identified with him, by serving other people. What an example Jesus gave us of that. The one who deserved most of all to be served came into the world as a servant. He laid down all of his right to be praised and glorified in heaven, and he came to earth to serve people, to become the one who would wash the feet even of those who would betray him and turn their backs on him. And after he did that, after he took on the role of a slave, he said to his disciples, this is what you ought to do for other people. We demonstrate the love of Christ living in us by serving. And then we demonstrate our love for God by giving to him. Someone once said you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Because when you love somebody, you want to give. And this didn't start with us. This began with God as well. This is the character and the heart of God. In John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that God did what? He gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God is crazy about you. God loves people. And because God loves, God gave. And God didn't just give what was convenient. God gave what was most precious. His only begotten son. God modeled for us what it looks like to give. Giving is an important aspect of love, and giving is an important part of worship. You and I were made to worship. You and I were made to receive God's love and return it. You and I were made to reflect God's love to the world around us. And so we worship, because worship is an act of love. We worship what we love most. We declare our love in worship with our words. We devote ourselves thoughtfully to God in worship. And then we demonstrate our love by what we do with the opportunities that God has given us. So let's worship with our words. Let's worship with our lives. And let's do it together.
You've been listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. From St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.